Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Son Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter 350, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. 350. 3, 4, and 5. We will read the Word of God. Scripture reading for this evening is taken from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 17 through verse 38. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38, and after the scripture reading, we'll sing together Psalter 220, stanzas 1 and 6. 220, 1 and 6, after the scripture reading, from Acts 20, 17 through 38. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. So far the reading of this portion of God's word, His blessing and His presence. Almighty and eternal God, King of thy church, we bow before thee at the evening of this day in this special worship service. And we give thee thanks that thou hast brought us together, that thou hast given us health and strength, that thou hast safely guided us and brought us here. Lord, thou knowest perfectly what the purpose is of our worship service. It is a farewell service in which for the last time we will proclaim thy word as pastor of the congregation of Dundas, as pastor of the Free Reformed Churches. Lord, in this hour many thoughts may be in the hearts and minds of the congregation, of the many that have gathered together. Thou knowest there are also many thoughts in our own heart. And we implore thee that when we have to leave each other, that thou wilt make things easy. And thou canst only make things easy with thyself, with thine own presence. And that's why we plead, wilt thou condescend, great shepherd, and visit us, giving strength in proclaiming thy word, giving also everything we need in listening to thy word. Lord, wilt thou bless this last message which we proclaim as pastor of the congregation. Wilt thou grant that we may bid farewell to one another in the light of thy word and in the light of that portion which we hope to dwell upon. Wilt thou remember us personally in proclaiming thy word. Grant us the grace and the strength we are in need of. Give us boldness in proclaiming this message. And wilt thou apply the word by the power of thy Spirit. Remember us personally and our family when we hope to leave tomorrow night. Lord, wilt thou grant us everything we need tonight, tomorrow. Grant us traveling mercies, and wilt thou bring us safely in the old country in the Netherlands. Lord, we implore thee, wilt thou remember our congregation of Dundas. Remember the flock which we leave behind, in whose midst we have labored for 7 years. Lord, wilt thou, as the great shepherd, take care of thy sheep and remember all members, those who as yet do not know thee, those who may fear thy name. Lord, wilt thou provide in all the needs, wilt thou also graciously fulfill the empty place that will be there after this service. Lord, remember all those with special needs and special struggles. Remember those who are mourning, who have lost one of their dear ones these past 7 years. Lord, remember those who are struggling with sickness or have been struggling with illness maybe for a long time. Be near to them. Lord, bless each and every one of the congregation. Wilt thou remember especially the young generation, the children, the young people, the young adults? O Lord, wilt thou visit them and wilt thou keep them with the truth and grant that thy word, also the word that has been sown in all weakness and simplicity during those years, may bear fruit, that our hearts may be humbled, and as lost sinners that they may learn to know thee in the Son of thy love, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, wilt thou remember fathers, mothers, families, in all the struggles and in all the needs that exist. Lord, we commend them to the throne of thy mercy and to the grace of thee. Bless the elderly people. Lord, wilt thou strengthen them in the old age, and wilt thou be near to them also in this last period of their life. Lord, remember the consistory. Strengthen the brothers. Lord, thou knowest they are also confronted with a great task. Wilt thou help them? Bind them together in unity, as we have always labored together these 7 years, in unity. Lord, keep them under thy care. Give wisdom and grace according to their need. Remember our denomination. Lord, when we leave the denomination also, we plead, wilt thou remember all the congregations, the pastors? Lord, wilt thou visit this part of thy vineyard, our small denomination, in thy goodness and in thy grace. And wilt thou remember thy cause? Make thy kingdom come. Destroy the works of evil. Visit all those who are called upon to proclaim thy word, and grant them everything they need, above all, mighty guidance of thy Spirit of grace. Bless our candidates and our student. Lord, remember them all in thy mercy. And when we come unto thee with all the needs of the congregation, of the denomination, of the churches in this hour, Lord, we implore thee, wilt thou grant that thy blessing may rest upon all the work done in all weakness. Looking upon ourselves stained with sin, Lord, wilt thou bless those labors which have been done in these 7 years, and look down upon the work in the blood and in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we give thee thanks that thou hast given strength, that we almost uninterruptedly could labor those 7 years. For the many things we have been able to do, oh, wilt thou bless it? Wilt thou forgive? Wilt thou also grant thankfulness in the hearts for everything which thou hast given? Lord, we give thanks especially that thou hast enabled us to proclaim thy word also in a language which was foreign to us, that thou hast provided in all our needs, that thou hast given at times great liberty, unction, that thou hast blessed us personally, that thou hast also been pleased to use the means. Saving grace accompanied the preaching of thy word. Lord, that is all of thee. And we acknowledge in humility thy great name. Lord, wilt thou look down upon us as we are gathered together in thy mercy, and be with us, not because of any worthiness in us, but look down upon us in the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the good pleasure of thee, O Father, and in that glorious work of the Spirit of grace and supplication. We ask it for thy name's sake alone. Amen. We will sing, congregation, from Psalter 290, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. And in the meantime, you will receive the opportunity to bring your offerings for the service of the Lord. 290, 3, 4, and 5. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5 and 7, 427, stanzas 5 and 7 after the sermon. The text for the sermon is taken from this portion of scripture that has been read to you, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, where we read the word of God and our text. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." So far, the words of our text. Beloved congregation, as we are all aware of, this evening is a special evening, a farewell service. And as every farewell has a sad aspect, also this hour has something in it that causes sadness, because this evening we have to leave each other. As a pastor, I have to leave you, congregation of Dundas, and I have to leave also the Free Reformed Churches. And when we reflect on these things, the danger is that we look only to the emotional side of attending a farewell service and having to leave. And certainly that aspect doesn't have to be neglected. But it shouldn't be the main thing tonight. We should look not to men, not to emotions only. We are called by the word of God to look up to him and to turn to his word. And that's what is a blessing at a farewell sermon like this, that we don't have to look only to men and to circumstances, but that we may bid farewell to one another in the light of Scripture. That's how Paul once left the church of Ephesus, which was so very dear to him. When he, in leaving the elders, in leaving the church, commended them to the grace of God. Someone has said it in commenting on this text: Paul directed the elders of Ephesus to look up to God with an eye of faith, and he besought God to look down on them with an eye of favor. And that's how we want to leave you, urging you as a congregation, as churches, to look up to the Lord with an eye of faith and pleading the Lord to look down upon you with an eye of favor. Theme for the sermon tonight is the apostle's word of farewell to the church of Ephesus. There are two aspects that we would like to consider briefly. First of all, he commends them to the grace of God and his word. Secondly, he assures them of the power of God and his word. The apostle's word of farewell to the church of Ephesus. He commends them to the grace of God and his word. Secondly, he assures them of the power of God and his word. These words are part of the Apostle Paul's moving farewell sermon to the elders of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and apparently he is in a hurry because he wants to be in Jerusalem before the Feast of Pentecost. Hence he has no time to visit the church of Ephesus personally. And that's why he sends a messenger to the city from the island of Miletus and asks the elders of the church of Ephesus to meet him there. The elders travel to the island of Miletus, and then Paul addresses them. And part of what he says to them is recorded in this portion of Scripture. The moving words that he gives to them. And in these moving words, he openly tells those elders of Ephesus that difficult times may come for the churches in Asia. He speaks about struggles, about heresies, about wolves, and all these kind of things. He also informs them that he himself will have many struggles. We read in verse 22, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Well, if you hear all that, struggles in Ephesus, struggles for Paul, question arises, Paul. But in the light of these situations, what kind of things do you say? What kind of a farewell message do you speak to those elders and in the elders to the church of Ephesus? Well, the Apostle Paul says, "This is the farewell message I have under these circumstances, under all the concerns which I have mentioned. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." In other words, we see clearly that the Apostle Paul commends and trusts the elders and the congregation of Ephesus to the Lord. He leaves the church and the overseers of the church in the Lord's hands. There are several things which we see in this clear meaning of our text. These words show that the apostle submits to the will of the Lord. That first of all. He knows that he will have a difficult time himself. Very clearly stated. He knows that there will be struggles for the churches in Asia. And yet we don't read that he is objecting. He does not ask questions, "Lord, how will this be? Why is this?" He gives clearly the impression that in this matter he submits unto the Lord and bows before his master. As we read in the next chapter, it's in his heart, "The will of the Lord be done." That's the posture of heart of the Apostle Paul at this point in his ministry. And we need the same grace, congregation, in this hour. The same grace of submission. You and I. After 7 years, I have to leave you. And many have said it to me during the last couple of weeks that it is difficult for them that they have to leave. Others have said that it is difficult for them that they have to leave you at this time. It's also difficult for us. For bonds have been established. and particularly special bonds under the Word of God. And I may believe by the Spirit of God. And it always fills our heart with a certain sadness if these bonds have to be broken. We don't have to deny this. Yet, we need a grace of submission that we may bow, the will of the Lord be done. And there is no better position, no better posture of heart than when by the grace of the Almighty King of the Church, we may bow together and submit, our will being swallowed up, so to speak, in the will of God. Thy will be done. However, our text does not only show that Paul submitted unto the Lord in this particular matter. In submitting unto the Lord, he also commended the church of Ephesus prayerfully unto the Lord. He says, I must leave you. And I believe that is the Lord's will. But when I leave you in good hands. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. In these words, we hear the apostle pleading that God, through the word of his grace, may take care of the flock, may remember the flock, may work in the midst of the congregation. He had received the church of Ephesus out of the Lord's hand during that lengthy period of time that he labored among them. And now he gives the church back unto the great shepherd, back in the hands of the Lord, so to speak, praying and pleading that God may remember the church and that the word of his grace in all its fullness may stay among them and have a free course among them. And that is something that we find more often in Scripture, that while earthen vessels, ministers of the word, apostles, prophets, preachers are taken away, have to leave, pass away, that the word of the Lord remains. That's what the apostle Peter said in writing to the churches. He says, everything changes in this world and in this life. All the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, when things change in our life and in church life, the word remaineth. And that's what the apostle Paul is emphasizing and is praying for. Lord, while everything is changing, while I have to leave, and they will see here in Ephesus my face no more, will thou be pleased to stay? And let the word of thy grace remain among them. Lord, will thou work through the word of thy grace? And will thou take care of the flock? Indeed, that's what the apostle prays for. And what else can we pray for and plead for at this moment, congregation? Commending you, commending the churches to the great shepherd of his flock, and to the word of his grace. He is able, he is willing to remember his cause, to remember the flock, and to visit by the word of his grace, to remain the unchangeable God who has bound himself in his condescending goodness to his word. And God can take care of congregations, of families, and of you individually far better than any man is able to. He wants to use men, I know, but God himself can take care far better than any man can do. I was thinking of that famous chapter in the prophecies of Ezekiel very often during those weeks, where the Lord says, in speaking about the under shepherds of Israel, he says, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. And in the original, the emphasis is especially on this: I will visit my sheep and I will take care of them. I will remember my flock. And how will the Lord take care of his flock? Well, one of the things that is said by the prophet in that chapter, he says that he will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, that he, the Almighty Shepherd, will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Unto this God, who as the great shepherd seeks the lost, who as the great shepherd binds up the weak, heals the wounds, unto this God Paul commends the church of Ephesus. And it is my prayer in this hour, Lord, shepherd of thy flock, remember the church. I commend you to this God and to the word of his grace. Now, wait a minute, someone says. But isn't that somewhat easy? When I think of Paul and the situation in which he was speaking, you see, Paul knew that certain struggles would come. And it's clear to me when I read this portion of scripture that they needed a man like Paul in the future. And when I think what would happen to Paul, Paul would be in prison in Jerusalem and he would be sent as a prisoner to Rome. Would Paul not be much more profitable in Ephesus to preach, to defend the truth, to keep the flock together, than he would be in a prison in Jerusalem for years, in a prison in Rome for years? Paul, isn't it somewhat easy to say, I commend you to God and to his grace and the word of his grace, while servants of God, while an apostle like you are, is so needed in this situation? Oh, my dear friends, maybe that thought has entered the hearts of the elders of Ephesus. And humanly speaking, it's understandable, and yet we should never think that Paul used those words in an easy way. He didn't mean these things he was saying in a rather cheap and easy way. For he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. And what does he add? Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. he points out, he assures the elders of Ephesus and also the flock in Ephesus that the God and the word of his grace to whom he commends the church is an almighty God. And this God will use his word as a power unto salvation. No, that cannot be an easy thing. That's not an empty wish. That is the best that Paul could wish, the best that Paul could pray for, that this God and the word of his grace may work mightily among them. God, through his word, who is able to build you up. What does that mean? And God assures the people of Ephesus that God, through his word, is able to build them up. Well, we cannot go into the word upbuilding too much. It's one of the key words, particularly in the New Testament. Just a few thoughts. Upbuilding is in the Word of God often related to the work of the ministry. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 how that ministers of the Word, apostles, and all those who are called to be preachers are like workers who build up under the blessing of the Lord, the church. And they have to be very careful that they lay a good foundation. That's what Paul says. Those who preach the word, they have to be very careful that they lay a good foundation. And what is the foundation? Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ and him crucified, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, Christ in the beauty of his work, in the preciousness of his person. He is the foundation of the church. And the apostle emphasizes that it is necessary to be built upon that foundation, to be saved by his grace, to learn to know him by whom sinners can only be saved. For there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. That's the word of God all about. It seeks to lay a good foundation. And that foundation is the only name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question comes to us tonight, when the word has been preached in all weakness, yet has been preached for 7 years. Have we been built upon the only foundation? Have we been drawn out of the darkness and led unto the marvelous light of God's grace? Have we learned to know him as the only name given under heaven? Have we been found in him, as the apostle says? Oh, my dear friend, if we are still a stranger to the foundation, still a stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace, if all those warnings, all those invitations, all this instruction has not driven us out of self so that we found him. The foundation stone, the cornerstone of his church. Then we are still lost. And then we have no place, as the apostle says, no inheritance among them which are sanctified. Then we are still sinners, unconverted. Oh, if that is the case, I urge you, in the light of the words which the apostle presses upon the hearts of the elders of Ephesus and presses upon your heart and mine heart tonight, listen to the word this day, while it is yet the day of grace, while yet the Lord bids, urges, pleads. For it is through the word that the Lord seeks the salvation of sinners, seeks to drive sinners out of themselves, seeks to draw sinners with cords of his love, that they may find the cornerstone and be built upon that sure foundation. And if in the vacant period, the word will be proclaimed by other ministers of the word, or sermons will be read, oh, my dear friend, don't neglect the coming together on the Lord's Day and at special services. For it is through the word of grace that God seeks to build up. It is even through the simple means of a reading service that God can draw a sinner like you and prick you in your heart. Listen to the word that has been proclaimed and that will be proclaimed, that you may be broken down in self and be found upon that foundation. But there is another aspect as well in this word upbuilding. Calvin particularly stresses that his word indicates that Paul says he, through his word, that is God through his word, is able and willing to build you up further, to continue the work of building. And also that is most necessary in the church of Ephesus. Many have been drawn out of the darkness of heathenism and corruption and sin, and have come to the light of the glorious knowledge of the grace of God. But they need to be established further. They need further instruction. They need to be built further. And Paul says, God and the word of his grace are able to build you further. And he is pleading while speaking those words, O Lord, continue the work. Let not thy word in mercy fraught here come to naught or be forsaken. And that's also most necessary among us, congregation. Children of God need to be fed and need to be instructed. There are some among us, I may believe, who have impressions and have become concerned about the eternal things. Oh, it's so important that they receive proper food, proper spiritual instruction. Who will give it to them? Our text says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, who is able through the word of his grace to build you further. to break down everything that is an hindrance. Self-righteousness, carnal-mindedness, and to build up and build further the glorious work of grace, to comfort those that mourn, to uphold those that struggle, to lift up eyes that are weary and cast down. Oh, God is able, by the word of his grace, to build up further. And that's why Paul urges the church of Ephesus, and why we may urge you tonight to look up to him whose word remains forever, and who by his word, through the foolishness of preaching, is able to build further and to guide further in the right way. Another aspect is this. Our building means being founded on the good foundation. It means being built up further and further in the kingdom of God. It also means that God, who builds up through his words, that he protects the building. You see, Paul has spoken those sobering words. I know that in the near future difficulties may arise. And he speaks in very threatening words almost. And the elders must have thought, but how do we deal with all those difficulties? With all those influences? What will the future bring? Will there be unity among us? Will we be kept with the truth? Will our children, our families be kept with the truth? All these kind of concerns, I'm sure, must have come up in the hearts of those elders. And Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. You see, all those forces that Paul has described in the previous verses, they were aiming at the destruction of the church. They were seeking to destroy. Because Satan is always busy with all his helpers to break down. To break down. And my dear friends, it's not different today. We know it. We see it. The dangers for the church, and particularly for a church that desires to stick to the truth and that pleads for the grace of the living God, the dangers are many. Destructive forces are powerful. Outside and even within the church as we see it. I commend you, Paul says, to God and the word of his grace, who is able to build you up. That means, who in spite of all the attacks, in spite of all the concerns, in spite of even the raging of the arch enemy Satan, he will build up his church. He will not forsake the work of his own hand. Whatever may change, dear child of God, his promise stands secure. And he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And even when times come that struggles may arise, no one can pluck his dear children out of his hand, because they are graven in the palms of his hand, graven in nail-pierced hands. He, through his word, is able to build up
that is to protect. Isn't it necessary tonight, in this hour of farewell, that we bow together and plead, Lord, who has protected thy church until now, continue to protect thy church and remember thy cause. Build up the walls of Zion. Keep thy people. Build them up in the most holy faith. And that upbuilding in our text is closely related to the giving of an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul says in these words, I commend you to the word of grace and to God, who is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. You see, God wants to upbuild the church through his word. And it is through his word that he will grant an inheritance among those who are sanctified. You know what an inheritance was in the Old Testament time? Part in the promised land. And so the word inheritance became more and more a word in Scripture that signified that God's church here on earth receives a blessed inheritance among those who are sanctified in heaven. This word directs our attention to the great blessings that God has in store for those that fear him. He promises life eternal, a blessed inheritance in the Canaan of rest. And that being built upon the rock and receiving an inheritance among those who are sanctified, God is able and willing to give it through the means of his word. The word which is blessed to the heart, a power unto salvation. It's by the word, by the foolishness of preaching, that hearts are prepared, that lives are molded and changed, and that they are prepared for the day of days to obtain that blessed inheritance which God promises. Oh, indeed, that's the great fruit upon the preaching of the word, if the word is blessed by the Spirit of grace. Oh, dear children of God, that's what God in his mercy, through the foolishness of preaching, does and has done, making a people ready for the day that they enter into the glory of the Lord. And one day, we all will stand before this God, the God who speaks and who has spoken through his word. There will be those who may enter into that inheritance because the word has been blessed to their heart. And they will see God in Christ. They will see his face. And when they bow before him, they will give the honor to him. They will say it. It was not me. It was not man. But it was thy work, through thy word, that my heart was drawn out of the bondage of sin, was built upon the rock, and was prepared for the blessings of heaven. O God, grant that many among us, during those years, or in the near future, may experience this power of God and of His Word, that they may be built and receive an inheritance. For don't forget it. It will be an awesome thing if we have been under the proclamation of the Word of God for many, many years, maybe even for 60 years. The proclamation of the Word, which is able to build and able to give by the power of the Spirit that inheritance. And we are yet strangers to the grace of God. That's not because anything was lacking in the Word, or anything was lacking in the invitations and the warnings of the Word of the living God. It was because of our own sin. Oh, dear people, let that not happen to any one of us. Don't live on without God, without grace. Seek Him while He may be found. Look unto Him while He is near. Look unto the word of His grace while it is still proclaimed. And so, I commend thee, you children, young people, you older people, you elderly, I commend you all to the God of mercy and the word of His grace, who is able to build you up and to give you this inheritance. And it is my prayer, Lord, do it. Work also among us with this grace in the future, in our congregation, in our denomination, to the glory of thy triune name. Amen. In a service like this, there are a few addresses. There will be two of them. The first address will be given by Brother Proce on behalf of the consistory, and the second by Reverend Schuett, who is our counselor on behalf of the churches. We will ask them in that order to come and to speak.
Dear Reverend Bars, it is 7 years ago when you came unto us and when you spoke in that installation, that you felt you were commanded to speak unto us the words of grace, the words of life. And then the first Lord's Day after the installation, you prayed one prayer in particular, and you prayed, Lord, open thou my lips. You have not prayed it once or twice, But many a time you have sent this petition before the throne of grace, Lord, open my lips. And we have felt, though you were commissioned by the Lord himself, to preach unto us that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet you felt yourself you were not able to do it except you experienced the unction of the Holy Spirit. And not only you have prayed this, but I may assure you that many in our congregation has prayed with you, O Lord, open thou his lips, that he may proclaim unto us the words of life. And we may say, the Lord has opened your lips, and the Lord has enabled you in these 7 years to make known unto us the counsel of God. The Lord has, that you could put before us law and gospel, that you have preached that name given above every name, that we must be saved. We may say your labors have not been in vain, for while you proclaim that glorious gospel, it has pleased God, the Holy Spirit, that it was attended with divine power. And we may say it honestly, that dead sinners have been quickening, that the Lord has greatly used it, blind eyes have been opened, that you have, the poor and the needy, have been encouraged. God's people has been edified. And we may say that you have discharged you of your duties faithfully. I do not say perfectly, yet faithfully, that the Lord has enabled you. And also this evening, while you will lay the blessing upon us for the last time, the ties between you as a pastor and our congregation will be severed. But this I may say, there are ties and bonds laid by the Lord himself. They cannot be severed to all eternity. And this very sacrifice that you are leaving, and yet we are thankful for all the labors done in our midst. And while you are leaving to the churches of Holland, we pray that God may go with you, that the Lord may bless you, and also make you a blessing in the midst of the congregation. Mrs. Bass, I would also like to thank you for all the work done in the congregation, and particularly there have been difficulties, there have been burdens upon your husband, you have also felt them, but also, and this I may say, there are times also here in Canada that you have experienced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that never will be forgotten again. And while you go back to the old country, there will be different needs, different burdens. But may also the Lord grant unto you that you may cast all your burdens upon the Lord, believing that he cares for you. And may God bless you. And also Tara and Arjen and Jan William and Sitska, we also like to say goodbye to you. Also for you, there will be difficulties in a different country, a different language. You need new friends, and what there may be. And I hope and I pray that also in your need, you may seek the Lord, that he be your help and your strength. and that you may do what we read of one of the kings, I believe this King Josiah, and he began to seek the God of their fathers. It is not only that you, Reverend Bars, are leaving, but also as a family Bars, leaving the families of the congregation. You have been dear to us. And may I say this, and as the wish and the prayer of the consistory and the congregation, that may the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with his Holy Spirit favor rest upon you, family Bars, from above. Congregation, this is an evening of mixed feelings. There is sadness in our heart that Reverend Bars has to go to Holland. And so he has said it this evening. May the Lord grant it, that submission unto his will. But also there should be thankfulness in our hearts that he has been enabled to preach among us, to labor among us for 7 years. He has preached more than 700 sermons for us. He has proclaimed to you death and life, curse and blessing. And also this evening, it is an evening of giving an account. And I want to, and this is the question, God's word shall never return unto him void, but it shall do what pleases him. But yet, what has it been to you? A favor, a savor of death unto death, of a savor of life unto death, life. Has it been a savor of death unto death? That means you can enjoy his preaching. You might have liked his sermon, like an Herod, like the sermons of John the Baptist, but yet is still a savor of death unto death. And you may ask me, what is the true mark that I know it is a savor of life unto life? The true mark that is that you have been humbled before the Lord, that you have experienced your lostness, your undoneness, your inability to help or to save yourself, that also felt in your soul that sorrowing after the Lord, which worketh a repentance not to repent of. And like we have sung this evening, then this will be the prayer of your heart. O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see, and that grace and that Christ thou showest to thy saints, that grace and that Christ reveal also in me. Congregation, one more thing. While we are going to be faking this evening, may I ask you, pray much for your consistory. We need your prayers. Pray much for the congregation, that the Lord again will be mindful of us, and again may grant us a man according to his own heart, that may lead us and preach to us the word of life. When Reverend Bars accepted his call, he preached about these words, I will not nor leave thee, nor forsake thee. And will that be realized collectively as a congregation and individually, then it cannot be else in the way of prayer. And if we look down upon our own self, there is no righteousness, no worthiness in us, that God should visit us with his mercies, again sending us a servant. But if you read chapter Ezekiel 37, where he says in his own word, O Israel, I do it not for your own sake, be it known unto thee. Ye have profaned mine holy name, but I will sanctify my name in the midst of thee. And yet I will be inquired. That means I will be prayed for these things. And by the house of Jacob. And therefore, pray, young and old, pray for the spirit of grace, to supplicate for grace. For then we'll be able to lay our needs before the Lord, but then also our needs will be met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing yet to Reverend Bass and his family standing. Psalter number 346.
I won't say too much. You have said in your sermon that there were ties and bonds created here, and indeed that is so. For you have served not only the congregation of Dundas, but also the churches and the denomination and many different committees. And on behalf of the consistories of our Free Reformed churches, on behalf of those committees and of all the colleagues, I would commend you to God and to the word of his grace, as you have commended us, and that he may richly bless you and your family in your future work, and that as you will arrive in Middle Harness, that you indeed may know that you are sent, and that you may go in the fullness of his grace. And as you go to the pulpit, Lord's Day upon Lord's Day, that you may preach the gospel, the truth of God, knowing that he is God and that his word is truth. You are leaving us. This is the parting of the ways. And you have served in the churches, usually as a president of committees or a secretary. And now that you are leaving us, this, of course, leaves a vacuum. And this vacuum has been filled already. New positions, new men have been placed in new positions. But yet, I think we will miss your contribution. You have always been enabled to work with us in a spirit of utmost cooperation and with great sympathy for the cause here in Canada and in America. And we hope that as you have left a vacuum, that the Lord will fill it with men who are also filled with the Spirit, who may lead us in the ways that we should go, and who would establish us deeper in the truth of God. And I hope that this also remains as a burden upon your heart as you leave us, that you will remember us in your prayers, not only those who are close to you, but our whole denomination and the cause of Christ here in the cause of his free grace. And I would say also to you, Nella and the children, goodbye from everyone in Canada, in North America, and may God bless you.
Bear with me, congregation, that I respond very briefly to these addresses and also say a few words. Those that know me know also that I never like addresses and long speeches because it often takes away from the Word of God. That's why I will be brief. But I also would like to say that does not mean, of course, that I do not appreciate the words that have been spoken. Thank you, Brother Proce, for your words of love, words that came from your heart. Thank you, Brother Schuett, from your words as well. And may God grant that these wishes and prayers, both spoken by Brother Proce and by Reverend Schuett, may be fulfilled in his mercy. I would like to say a few words to the denomination, to all of you, to all my colleagues, to the candidates, to the ministry, to the student, office bearers, congregations. And my only desire and prayer is for you freely formed churches, that God may remember you. The words I have spoken, I have also spoken to you. And may God dwell richly among you, that there may be unity in the bond of the Spirit under the infallible truth of the Word of God. Stay with the truth in this confused day and age. The truth of life and death. The truth of free and sovereign grace. And God bless the truth to the heart of every one of you. I would like to say also a few words to the Rehoboth Christian School, which is affiliated with our churches, where many of our children are attending school, or also our children attended school. Staff, the board, and the whole school community, I wish you the Lord's blessing. And that the teaching at the school may continually be from the perspective of the great principles of the Reformation, the 5 points, which are taught at some level in some classes, that it not only may be a subject, but that it may permeate the whole teaching at the school for many, many years. Congregation of Dundas, when I speak these final words as your pastor, I wish you the Lord's blessing. The great shepherd of the sheep be with you and remember you. Forgive what I have done wrong among you. There have been weaknesses, sins. I have not always done what I should do, partly because of many pressures. There were times that I felt that I had 3 functions instead of 1. Pastor of you, pastor of Hamilton, and also very involved in the churches. You have, generally speaking, have always great understanding for this, and I thank you for that. It has cost me at times sleepless nights, but that's not the worst part, for there have been sleepless nights in which I also could commend all the work, and you especially, at God and His grace. And if there was good, and I believe, as has been expressed, God has given blessings. I think of the words of Abram Hallenbrook, the well-known author of the little book with questions. When Hallenbrook was an old man, he was mentally becoming weaker and weaker. Stayed at the house of his children, of his oldest daughter, and was sitting outside in the sun playing with dolls as a little child. And a lady who had been converted under his ministry came to him and started to cry and said, "Reverend, do you still remember how the Lord has used your word to me?" And Hallabrook looked up and said, "Thank God for that, not me." And that's what I only can repeat. Thank God for this. Dear consistory, Brother Prosay has spoken on your behalf, and it is also the words which I have opened from the scripture tonight that they are spoken to you. I can say with all my heart that it is also with sadness that they have to leave you. You know, and also those who have been in the consistory, we have worked together all those 7 years in great harmony. There has never been any argument. And that's a great blessing. A blessing of the Lord. Thank you for your understanding, for your support, your prayers, your correction if necessary. Thank you for all the things you have been to myself and to my family. God bless you in the great task of leading this congregation. And congregation, may I underscore the words of Brother Prosay. Remember your consistory in your prayers. They are not perfect men, but they seek the good of you and of your children. Plead that they may be directed in the right way, given wisdom and grace. It's easy to criticize consistories. Both in Holland and here, I have heard my share of that criticism. Sometimes it was not out of place. Many times it was quite easy, sometimes even cheap. Don't underestimate the burden they have, the task they have. Pray for them. Be patient with them. Remember them. And that a bond of unity in the truth and under the truth may prevail among you. And that God grant soon you may receive your own pastor and teacher. Before I close, I also would like to address very briefly my wife and my children. You will understand I will not say much. There are things that cannot be said in public, don't have to. But I think it's proper that I at least also publicly would like to thank you, my wife, for all that you have been in these 7 years, also for bringing sacrifices. And they have been many. I've not often been home. Thank you also, dear children, for your sacrifices. And when you particularly will have to face a new great change, I only would like to underscore with all my heart what Mr. Prosay said. God be with us. God be with you. The God who has worked in generations, many generations in the past, in our families, be with us also in the Netherlands. It's hard to have a change of this magnitude again after those 7 years. But the God who provided 7 years ago is still the God of Israel. In conclusion, I would like to thank you all for your interest and for your presence. And I would like to conclude with the words of the apostle, words that are spoken to you and especially to my congregation. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, we give thanks unto thee that thou hast strengthened us and given us everything we needed in these very hectic days, heavy days, that we still could proclaim thy word, and that thou hast given us this service in which we could bid farewell to the churches and the congregation. Lord, we commend each and every one again at the throne of thy mercy. And wilt thou provide and be with each and every one of us. Lord, wilt thou grant everything we need, also in the future. Be with us when we leave this sanctuary. Remember us in all our ways. And wilt thou also grant traveling mercies tonight and tomorrow. Forgive our sins, also the sins of this evening, and glorify thy name in and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to thee be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing song is Psalter 429, stanza 4. 429, stanza 4 is our closing song. I have one announcement, congregation. It is that you are requested, after the singing of the doxology, to sit down for one moment to give us as consistory the opportunity to conclude as usual in prayer. After the prayer, I will leave the consistory and together with my family walk to another place in this building. Those that want to shake hands and say goodbye will receive the opportunity, and the ushers will at that time indicate who can leave the building, what row, what pews can leave, so that everything may be done orderly. So please sit down after the singing of the doxology to give us this opportunity. Depart now in peace and receive God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.